Take your Bibles right now. Open them up. Book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Our Father, I pray you'd bless us today as we study your word. I pray that you give us insight and understanding. More important, I pray that you'd help us to apply this to our lives, that we might live lives that please you and point to you at all times. Guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. On this 4th of July weekend, we celebrate the historic experiment that was and is the United States of America. The freest country ever governed by man. Our founding fathers understood that God is the supreme authority in the universe and that all rights come from Him, not the government. They also understood that man was a sinner and that power corrupts. Understanding these two fundamental issues, they wrote the Constitution of the United States to limit the reach of federal government and safeguard the rights that were endowed by our Creator. Now, we have been moving away from those ideas for years and are now left with an administration that thinks it is God, with the rights to make its own rules. It is clearly a departure from the truth. It is clearly an apostasy from the Constitution on which the United States rests. The Apostle Paul, here in these verses that we read, speaks of another departure. A departure from the faith. A departure from the truth. It has happened, it is happening, and it will continue to happen, and I submit to you that the United States is in the mess we're in today because Christians have moved away from the truth. Because we have departed from the faith as to what we should be believing. So, let's get back to the basics, back to the truth, back to God. Let's go back to the Word of God. Amen? Today is one of those, you got to help me sermons. So when I say something, you're going to repeat something after me. Now, I cannot trust you to say the whole phrase by yourself. Okay? Now, it's one of two things I figured out. Either you're hanging on every word that I say, and so you just forget to say what I want you to say. Or I'm just boring you to death and you've gone to sleep. One of those two, I'll let you decide. Okay? So what you're going to do is every time I say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you're going to say it with me. Can we do that? Shake your heads, make me feel better. Okay, ready? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing. You're fired. Okay, can you do it? All right, we'll do it. So whenever I say that throughout the sermon, this is going to be, you know, you help me out here. Thank you. So, the title of the morning sermon is The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. Number one, the fact of apostasy. The fact of apostasy. He says here in verse number 1 of 1 Timothy chapter number 4, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the Spirit clearly tells us it is going to come. There will be an apostasy. There will be a falling away from the faith. There will be a falling away from truth. We know what the truth is. We began with the truth of the Word of God. We know what it is. And there will be a falling of it in Christianity, in the world. They will fall away from the truth. It has clearly been said to us in Acts chapter number 20, verses 29 and 30. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Jude 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19. Just to name a few. Okay, the Bible clearly tells us that as time goes on, people will move away from the faith. People will move away from the truth. They don't want to know the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to know what God has to say in His Word. So they invent their own ideas. They come up with their own thoughts. And very often, they come up with their own thoughts, and then they hunt for a verse to attach to it so it makes it sound biblical. They'll find a word that they're saying, and they'll get their concordance out and find that word in the Bible someplace, and it looks like they actually got it from the Bible. And they haven't. You know, it's the old joke years ago. I had a student come home from Bible college. He was studying to be a pastor, and he said these words to me. Pastor, I've got a good sermon. Can you help me out? All I need is a verse to go with it. To which I kind of had to explain to him, that's not how it goes. But anyway, that's what these people do. Okay, and then we move away from the truth, because we're not studying the truth. We're studying what I think is true. And then we attach a verse to go with it to kind of get the authority of God behind it. But the Spirit clearly says that apostasy will come. He says it'll come in the latter times. In the latter times. Now, the last days began at Pentecost. Okay, so starting at Pentecost, starting with the beginning of the church, we were in the last days. Now, clearly, 2,000 years later, we're in the latter times of the last days. So these things are going to take place in our times. He said, some shall depart from the truths of the Word of God. Some shall depart from the faith. And the faith he's talking about here are the doctrines of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, the whole book itself, what it tells us about God, what it tells us about the world, what it tells us about ourselves, what it has to tell us all together. It's telling us that some are going to depart. Some are going to leave it. Some don't want to hear about it. And people will listen to them. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay? The idea of having itchy ears is they will want to listen to people who tickle their ears. That's our phrase. Who tickle their ears. People who will tell them what they want to hear. People don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. You know what they want to hear? You're all right. I'm all right. And you come to Jesus, and everything's going to be wonderful for the rest of your life. You will never be sick. You'll never be poor. It will all be wonderful. That's what they want to hear. Sounds good, doesn't it? Fact of the matter is, the Bible says you're going to have trials in this life. But I'll be with you every step of the way. Amen. That's what we need to hear. What we need to hear, get ready, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay, that's what we need. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to make sure we are getting back to if we've left it, or we stay there if we never have. The fact of apostasy, it will happen. Number two, the forces of apostasy. The forces of apostasy. Again, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1 again. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The forces of apostasy. Religious leaders are the conduits for the lies of seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, these lies may come out of the mouths of pastors, politicians, and professors, but they originate in Satan himself and are propagated through demons using human emissaries to get the job done. Well, men might say them, but it's the power behind the throne that you've got to worry about. It's the power behind what is being said that you've got to worry about. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 28 in your Bible. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Verse number 12, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12. God is having his prophet Ezekiel here in this passage of Scripture, in this section of Scripture, preach to different countries around Israel and tell them what's going to happen with them. He says in verse number 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub." Wait a minute, time out. Okay, God says, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre. But then he clearly isn't talking to the king of Tyre. Did you get who he's talking to here? He's talking to Satan. Okay, he's talking to the power behind the throne. Well, the king of Tyre sat on the throne, and the king of Tyre was wicked, and the king of Tyre did what Satan wanted him to do. The real source of what he was doing and saying and planning was Satan himself. And God talks through this king, this human being, to the power behind the king, Satan himself. That's what takes place anytime anybody moves away from Scripture. Anytime anybody moves away from the truth of the Word of God, you see, we need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay? No one moved their mouth that time. Okay? We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we need. But Satan has a way of pulling people from the truth through all kinds of means. He is the force behind it. Go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan does not come out looking evil. He does not come out with the horns. He does not come out with the pitchfork. He does not come out with the pointy tail. He does not come out looking bad. He comes out looking good. He looks good. And so do the pastors and politicians and college professors who spout his lies. They look good. They look, they're charming. They look amazing. They look wonderful in all that they do. And Paul says, no marvel, Satan looks good. So his ministers do the exact same thing. But they're the power, they're the force behind anybody who leaves the Word of God. They're the force behind anybody who gets away from God's Word and start preaching their own opinion, their own idea, their own subjects, and they don't preach the Word of God. They look and sound good to the human mind that is not submitted to the truth of God's Word. But their consciences, verse number 2, have been cauterized. And that's the word he uses here. We get our word cauterized. Seared with a hot iron means they've been cauterized. Their consciences don't even bother them anymore. Wow. Not telling the truth. Not saying what's right. They actually believe their own lies. What we need is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we need to understand and get back to at all times. Because they've been cauterized, their consciences have been seared with that hot iron, they have no remorse for leading people into the arms of Satan, which is what they're actually doing. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's literally in the wicked one. It carries the idea of people being rocked to sleep in the arms of Satan. Whoa, what a picture. And that's exactly what happens when these whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron spout the lies of Satan because they've gotten away from the truth of God's word, and they create a mess wherever they go. So we've seen the fact this kind of apostasy is going to come. We've seen the forces. It is Satan and his demons who use human beings to get these lies out there. And people believe them because they want to hear these things. They want to hear words that tickle their ears. They want to be heard, told that they're just fine, that they can do whatever they want, live however they want, and everything's going to be just fine. Because after all, there's no God you've got to answer to. And on they go. Number 3, the fabrications of apostasy. The fabrications of apostasy. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Paul lists 2 of the lies here, and they sound almost innocuous. Kind of like, what's the big deal? He lists 2, forbidding to marry and forbidding the eating of meat. Okay? Forbidding to marry and forbidding the eating of meat. It doesn't sound as important as denying the doctrine of the Trinity or denying the deity of Jesus Christ. It don't sound like they're that important when you think about it in the scale of all things that Satan has told, all the lies that he has told down through the years. But that's what false teachers do. They just need a little lie to open the door so they can get in and teach all of the other garbage that they're going to teach. They start with a little lie that might be hung on some truth or looks like it's hung on some truth, and then they go from there. They want to get the door open that you might listen to the big lie because you've listened to the little lie. Wow. I've got to be honest with you. I've said this before. Looking at our country, and our Lord is going to come back pretty soon. I firmly believe that. Bible talks about people believing the Antichrist's lie. You kind of wonder, how is that possible? you know, millions of people disappear all over the world and they're going to believe what the Antichrist tells them. It kind of sounds kind of far-fetched. That's kind of my thinking. But then you look at society today and you listen to the lies that people believe today. And you go, yeah, they're going to believe it because they're really stupid. Yeah, they're going to believe it because they want to believe it. They don't want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They want to be told a comforting lie that will make them feel better in their sin. And that's what Satan does. He gets a crack in the door in some way to move you away from the Word of God, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and adds his big lies in after that. Fox's Book of Martyrs, one of the stories he tells of a young Christian being burned at the stake. And Catholic Church was in charge of this burning at the stake. And the priest gets out the Word of God and he reads 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And he takes the torch and he lights the fire to burn this Christian at the stake. To which the Christian says, read on. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. To which point the priest takes his Bible and tosses it in the fire with him. This isn't anything new. This is an old lie that he has thrown into the church that has been bantered around. And let me put it to you this way. Any idea, any thought, any doctrine that moves away from what the Bible teaches is going to mess it up completely. Amen. It's going to mess it up completely. Is marriage a mess in our land today? And the answer is yes. Do you know why marriage is a mess in our land today? Because people have gotten away from the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's pretty much that simple. We've got people today that believe this, and abstaining from meats. And if you want to be a vegetarian, be a vegetarian. It doesn't bother me. But don't tell me it's God's will that you be a vegetarian. Don't say you're more spiritual because you're a vegetarian. Because you're not. It doesn't happen. So let's look at these two things. The idea that self-denial of all physical desires was the way to salvation or was the way to true spirituality is what this was getting at. And where it goes. Okay? And it is wrong. Okay, forbidding to marry. It was Paul who wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 that God has given to some the gift of celibacy and to others he has not. God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. In fact, he gave away the first bride. Jesus Christ maintained a high view of marriage in the gospel. And it is even used in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 to describe the relationship between Christ and the church. The Bible's got a whole lot to say about marriage, and the Bible wants our marriages to be heaven on earth. Amen. It's pretty clear. But we get messed up when we move away from the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, God set up marriage, God designed marriage, and God said, this is the way it's supposed to work. And when we have a better idea, I say we, I'm talking about mankind, it didn't come from us, it came from Satan and his emissaries. It comes through human mouth, but when we think we know better than God as to how marriage is supposed to work, we are in big trouble. I'll say amen if you won't. Amen. Okay, why is marriage such a mess today in our world? Why can it be described in so many ways? And I'm trying to keep this thing PG. You get me, right? We're in a mess. Our world's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Why? We've gotten away from the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's where we are. We think we know better. We think our opinions are more important. We think what this guy has to say or what that guy has to say is more important than what God has to say. Now, God covers marriage from A to Z in the Word of God. And His way is right. His way is best. Amen? Amen. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to tell America. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Amen. How about the forbidding of eating meat? Again, the problem is attaching a higher level of spirituality to it. And some would even add salvation to it. And they did in this day. And they were a mess because of it. I want you to look at Mark chapter number 7. Anytime you take something from the Word of God and say you could have a better, you can be a better Christian, you can be super saved, if you'll do it this way, then you are in big trouble and you're leading people into seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Go in your Bible to Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. Go to verse number 18. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, and into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. The disciples actually had the gall of eating without washing their hands. Wow. Because they were hungry. Pharisees came along and said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Our law says you can't do that. What was their law? Their law was they added to God's word. Okay, their law made it more strict. They added to it with their thoughts, their ideas. Read earlier, they made the Word of God of none effect by their tradition. They took what they wrote about the Word of God and elevated it to equal status with the Word of God. And then Jesus Christ explains to them, it's not what goes in that defiles you, it's what comes out, and what comes out comes from the heart. But here's what I want you to see. Okay, if you've got a pen, if you're used to writing in your Bible, in verse number 19, where it says, purging all meats, put a parenthesis around that. And that actually means, that literally means cleansing all meat. Okay, what he's saying there is, you can now eat all meat. He's telling the Jews. Wow. So Jesus Christ did that. So you can't say, you don't be a vegetarian, go ahead. That's fine. But you can't say, it says you can't in the Bible. Because Jesus Christ cleansed them here and said you could eat whatever you wanted to eat. Here. We can go to the talk with Peter as well in the book of Acts, but that's not what we're dealing with here. The Pharisees took the idea of washing your hands to a level of spirituality. And they were more spiritual for what they did than you are for what you did. And you know that human beings are really good at that? Human beings are really good at saying, I'm more spiritual than you are because I do or I don't do this. Anytime you do that, you're getting away from the truth of God's word. Because you've got to add to God's word to do that. And when you add to God's word, you mess it up. Not God's word. You raise what your thoughts are to the same level as God's thoughts are, and then everything gets all messed up. Everything all gets all messed up. The monks and the monasteries took these two ideas to an unspeakable, unheard of level. And they became cesspools of sin and iniquity. To think that you can go ahead and deny something that God has given to you and say, I'm better off because of it. Paul said, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely silly to think that. You are complete in Jesus Christ, and you don't need to do anything else to make yourself more spiritual by adding these special rules or add-ons to Christianity that aren't based in Scripture. Oh yeah, there might be a verse that looks like it, and you kind of add, no. The whole of Scripture is what we go by. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Go in your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. This idea was beginning to affect the church in Colossae as well. And Paul writes in verse number 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? As though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Here's the asceticism. Here's the no eating or no eating of meats. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He said, you might deny yourself of all of these kinds of things, but that doesn't make you more spiritual. That doesn't make you better off. In fact, it will turn into those cesspools that the monks and monasteries became because of it. He said, it's an exercise in will worship. Do you see how strong I am? Do you see what I can do? Do you see what I've accomplished? And it becomes an area not of humility, which is what you think that would kind of do. It becomes an issue of pride. And whenever pride enters the situation of our spirituality, we are living the lie that Satan wants us to live. His sin was pride. And any time that we can get lifted up with pride, he just sits back and smiles. Wow. He said, we're in Christ. We are complete in Christ. What else do we need to do to be saved? Nothing. What do we need to do to live a spiritual life? We need to live out the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we need to get back to. Now understand, people are going to move away from the truth. Our country has moved away from the truth. We need to get back to it. Because the people behind it are Satan, his demons. But we've got the answer. John wrote, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is a defeated foe. You know what the best thing you can do? Is not listen to him. Listen to God. Get the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, what we need as individuals, what we need as believers is the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What we need as a church, Life Baptist Church, is the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And what we need in the United States of America is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. You know, you get sworn in a court of law, you used to have to say that. you don't anymore. I got some other words they say. You know what we need? You've said it. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find in your word. Your word is truth. Help us to understand that the opinions of men do not matter. And too often they lead us in the wrong direction. Because when we get too far away from the truth, we mess everything up. Help us, Lord, to come back and find out what you say about everything and to live that way. Guide and direct and bless as we make decisions. Help us to understand that there's no self-denial that will make us more spiritual. There's nothing of that kind. We need to do what's right. We need to live according to your word. We need to know it and we need to share it. Guide, direct, and bless in these decisions. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.